Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star now in studio. Jesse, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking at Jake just to see how many fines he accrued from last hour.
What are you talking about?
Oh, the FCC knows what you're talking about.
Nah.
Nah.
F-bombs.
There was a lot
there.
Everything
was above board.
Yeah, right.
Was it?
Yeah. I love the word coming out of Garrick's mouth, and then Jake, easy over there. Hey, Buster. It's good radio.
So let's
Billy Crystal's, you know. Gary's not a music guy.
Right.
I get it.
Correct. All right, so let's start with the easy stuff. All right. Clyde Edwards-Helaire re-signs with the Chiefs. What did you think of that? Were you surprised at all that was the running back that they signed?
Yeah, I wasn't sure he's going to be back, but you guys mentioned the last hour. I thought Garrick and Sherm hit on it pretty well, that the guy's loved in the locker room. I mean, guys really like him. When you're talking about a third running back, you're probably going to have to sign somebody. You want some security, even if they do draft somebody. And so that's a familiar face, knows his role, can do some pass catching. Sort of interesting. You know, he talked a little bit at the very, very end of last year that he was dealing with some mental health stuff during the season, and I know certain practices he was missing, you know, during the year where he would kind of be in and out and in and out. If I remember right, he didn't even go to Germany for the game against the Dolphins. So, again, it's big for him to talk about that stuff and to be open about it. But, I mean, if you talk to a man in the Chiefs locker room, they love Clyde. I mean, he's such – and then, listen, we love talking to Clyde. I mean, you guys have been in their locker room with him too. You need those types of people in there, and I think for the role that he's going to play for the Chiefs, that's good. It's good to have somebody in there who you like, who teammates like, and who is going to accept the role that he has. So it makes some sense to bring him back and be that third running back, and I think the Chiefs probably are still in pursuit of their second running back, whoever that is going to be between Pacheco and Clyde.
Okay, so now let's get into the more difficult topics to discuss. It's the Rashee Rice thing is somewhat bizarre because there's still precious little actual information that we have to go on. You know, and I've talked to some different people down there and gotten some details that may or may not come out. The bottom line is this. It's terrible optics, terrible decision-making by Rashee Rice, and he's extremely lucky that this didn't end up worse, that somebody wasn't badly injured or even killed, because we don't have to look too far back in NFL history to see the worst case scenario. And so, you know, to be an optimist, hopefully this is a tremendous wake-up call for him. We'll have to see. Only time will tell. What's your reaction to the story? And then I know there's more important things, but now that we know that nobody was injured badly or, you know, disaster was averted, how's this going to affect his status on the football team as far as you think he'll be suspended? There's a lot there that's unknown, but clearly this is something that the NFL is looking at, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, and you don't want to sound crass in these situations either, because
right.
Again, there are people out there who were involved in this crash who had children who now, you know, aren't doing well, at least mentally, with this. When you have your car spin around, you know, you got people out there from some of the reports that, you know, have light sensitivity, concussions, you know,
it could affect them the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it really could. So, again, we're going to talk about this from a football perspective, understandably, that, you know, this could have been a lot worse, and there are other things out there that people that are affected. But, you know, I think you saw from Rashee's statement and from the lawyer's statement that he made before, even though we're not We don't have all the facts yet, and obviously the police are continuing their investigation. This has become a very legal matter right now for Rashee Rice, and right now it's a matter of if you are a prosecutor, what can you prove? You know what I mean? And we've seen the dash cam video by now. We've seen some of the photos of those guys. But even with all of that, like we've been talking about, you guys talked about last hour, do we know definitively that Rashee Rice was driving one of the vehicles? We don't know that yet. Now, can we make assumptions? Maybe we can. But can that be proven if we're talking about a criminal case? I don't know. And so I think that's why you see in, you know, his quote that he had yesterday that was put out there, you know, very legalese. You know what I mean? This is something a lawyer wrote for him. You know what I mean? Like, I take full responsibility for my part in this matter and will continue to cooperate with the necessary authorities. So taking full responsibility for my part in this matter, not for driving, not for crashing the vehicle, not, you know what I'm saying? It's very leaving it to, like, can it be proven?
You don't think he put pen to paper for that one?
I think he has some good legal things going on, but some smart legal things going on. It's a long answer to your question, Stephen, which is we don't know what we don't know yet. Maybe there's going to be some video or photos that come out. Maybe there already are that we just don't know about. But as it stands right now, it seems like, again, he got lucky. He got lucky with his involvement with this, was not more serious and didn't injure more people in a more serious way. And so the minimum, I think, is you're looking at, you turn on the television and this thing has been on the bottom scroll of ESPN or whatever, you know, national news for a week now. And that is the sort of stuff that gets Roger Goodell out with his personal conduct policy and says, I don't need all the facts or all to have to prove beyond reasonable doubt. I just have to know that you embarrassed the NFL and I can suspend you. So I think at this point, that's what we're talking about with Rashee Rice. And, you know, games wise, I don't know. I mean, again, we're all speculating here. We don't know exactly what all is going to come out. But that's probably the most likely scenario right now is that criminally, it might be difficult to prove things against him. NFL conduct policy, if present is any example, Roger Goodell is going to suspend him and potentially suspend him for a substantial but not season-long amount of time. I mean, I don't know. What would you guys guess? I mean, from what we know right now, would you guess four games, six games, eight games?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're all speculating, but that to me seems like kind of the ballpark right now. So if you're the Chiefs, potentially you're looking at kind of like they were with the Menahou last year. You know, you're looking at, okay, you got to deal without this guy, but you're going to probably plan on having him back, again, unless something comes out here in the next few weeks that we don't know or has not been made public yet.
Okay, so, look, I think we all agree that the Chiefs were going to already draft a wide receiver, we think, in the first or second round, right?
Absolutely.
Does, if you consider a possible suspension, and now if you consider some poor decision-making, and I'm not telling you that they can't trust Rashee Rice, better go get a first-round pick, but this has to have at least a small bit of influence on once again, backing up the idea that they need to go out and get another wide receiver. I mean, especially if you think that he's going to be out for four games, and maybe you have to at least question, like, all right, what are we dealing with here with this kid? What? Because that's just, it's bad decision making. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how much that goes into the calculation of this, just because if you're the Chiefs, you did your due diligence before you drafted him. You know what I mean? Or you should have. You traded up to get him. You know, you knew a lot about him before this whole thing went on. And you know, the guys talked about it last hour, and you talked about it, Stephen. If something is going to wake you up and get you on the right track or back to a place where you should be rather than where you shouldn't, you would think an incident like this would do it. And we're talking about the Chiefs. I mean, these receivers don't usually go to the free agent market. So maybe your question is, usually when a team gets a good receiver, they re-sign him because, as you saw in the free agency market, there's not usually good receivers that hit it. I mean, the Chiefs got one of the best ones in Hollywood Brown, but, like, he's, you know, that's not Justin Jefferson hitting free agency. Usually those guys are signed up. Maybe that's the question the Chiefs start to ask themselves, is like, is this a guy you want to lock up past the first 4 years. You know what I mean? Is that a guy that you want to continue to put that kind of trust in when you do that for guys like Patrick Mahomes or for, you know, recently Chris Jones, that sort of thing? But as of now, I think I would assume that they know a lot about Rashee Rice. They're going through the draft process just last year about him. And so I would assume that they're going to proceed forward these next 3 years as they would have before, if nothing else, just to get him potentially the support that he needs in this particular time to try to get back in good graces.
People do stupid things in life. Young men have a tendency to do stupid things. There's a reason car insurance costs a lot of money for young men. That's a, you know, there's, and it doesn't excuse any of it. But my point is that we've seen a lot of guys do stupid things and learn from them and grow from them.
Yep.
You know, I mean, one of your good buddies, Stephen, you know, Jared Allen did some stupid things early in his career here, to the point where Carl Peterson thought he was too risky of a person to re-sign, and he turned out to figure some things out, you know, and grow up and mature. And shoot, even, I mean, I'm not comparing what Rashee Rice is involved in right now to what Travis Kelce's done, but Travis Kelce was a knucklehead that did some stupid things, right? And he, look at how he's grown into a leader and a person that can give advice to young players.
Now, Jared Allen also needed, and he will tell you, he needed a change of scenery.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, yeah.
And that something drastic, you know, happened to help him turn things around.
Yeah. And you hope something like this for Rashee Rice is like, because look, at the very minimum, this sure appears to be an incredibly expensive mistake.
Yes.
I mean, there are legal fees, you know, potential lawsuits, all kinds of things that would make you think this is going to be a very expensive mistake, if nothing else. Right. And so you hope that something like this wakes somebody up a little bit and goes, oh, man, this could have been a lot worse than it was. And it still wasn't very good. And you hope that's the kind of moment that maybe wakes somebody up and makes them grow.
It's still emotional right now, guys, because you see the video and it's still out in the news every day. And the more every day goes on, it becomes less emotional because those people heal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This news cycle moves on, those sorts of things. And that's sort of why we kind of have to come back to this rational part with it, which is like right now, I mean, he says that he cooperated with authorities, but like he hasn't been arrested. You know what I mean? Like there's not a warrant out for him. You know what I mean? So like proving exactly what happened and that thing might be difficult for a prosecution, which means potentially it could get, you know, pleaded down or there could be something else. So, like, I mean, that's where it comes to where we talk about the Roger Goodell thing, because that's kind of what the NFL kind of has a policy in place now, which is like a no embarrassment policy. Like, if you embarrass the NFL and you're all these headlines and they're talking about this NFL player who did this, they can say, look, we're going to make an example of you. This is what happens when you do this. You're not going to, you know, hurt the shield, that sort of thing. And so, again, we don't know what's going to come later. We don't know if there's going to be more information come out. We can't predict the future on that. But what we do know is the precedent is out there that rationally this is going to impact Rashee Rice in some way on the football field, because more than likely he's going to face a suspension for what transpired and for him bringing the NFL into this news. And so not exactly sure what that's going to be, but that will at least impact the Chiefs next year. If he's lucky, and he's been lucky to this point, if he's lucky, that'll be the extent of it. He continue on his career with the Chiefs.
I think we all believe in second chances. We all believe in giving someone the opportunity to learn from mistakes. But it's also strike one. Mm-hmm. And so then if something happens again,
mm-hmm. It's on the ledger.
Right.
I mean, that's what
right.
I'm like. Like if you're sitting down with him to say, hey, you've had three productive seasons with the Chiefs, and we're thinking about an extension. That if you're Brett Veach, it has to be part of the conversation. You have to bring it up. You have to say, like, hey, man, look, this is part of your story now. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's absolutely a bullet point now that goes on his career mark.
Okay, the stadium vote. What you cover the Chiefs? I know that you talk more about what goes on the field, but this was a big deal. There was a big day in Kansas City, not a big day for the Chiefs, but a lot of people. I mean, you know, we talked about this on the air. I've talked to a lot of people that voted, that felt strongly on both sides of the issue. I've had plenty of interaction with people on social media via email. And one of the things that has come up in talking about the Chiefs was nobody that I've talked to was impressed with the renderings that they offered up, with what they showed they were going to do with the money, right? And it's like Nate said, he saw it and thought, well, what are they going to do with the other $750 million? It just that, and it's, of course, that's not why the vote didn't pass, but it was part of it. It was one of the things that people had an issue with. Another thing that people had an issue with, and I said it when it happened, is, you know, Kansas Cityans, and I think voters, and people in general, don't like to be threatened or talked to in a condescending tone. And I thought it devolved into that. When you start to talk about, you know, the idea of leaving, or, you know, you better do this or this is going to happen. It got to that point, which I think was also a sign that the people that supported yes were very nervous, rightly so, about this thing passing, because it didn't by quite a big amount. And then a lot of things on the royal side of it went wrong, right? But this whole deal didn't seem like it was well planned out, didn't seem like everyone was on the same page. A lot of last-minute changes. It was bizarre, you know. And I'm sure we all, our inboxes were filled with press releases and announcements of press conferences and appearances and last-minute this and that. So I'll just ask you now: what's your reaction to what happened with the no's winning by a very wide margin? And what do you think is next when it comes to the Chiefs?
First, give a shout out to Sam McDowell on our staff.
Great job.
He's been covering this stuff, and most of what I'm going to say is basically parroting, listening to him, because he knows people from both sides of the aisle, has been, you know, following this thing and following closely. I mean, first off, I think I want to start with this. I was surprised that it failed by that much. Were you guys surprised by the vote? I think,
yeah.
I'd start with that.
If you had told me that it wasn't going to pass, I could have believed it, but I did not think it was going to be like a landslide.
Wasn't
like that.
Close.
That was the first thing. I agree with you. I kind of thought it was going to pass by a slim margin. I thought if it didn't pass, I wouldn't be shocked, but I did not think it was going to be a blowout either way, and it was a blowout. I think these two teams need to separate on this thing now. I think that's probably what this ensures. And it feels to me, you talked about the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs just had a 3/16 sales tax that said those same renderings and said, we're the Chiefs, we've won two Super Bowls in a row, we want your 3/16 for the next 25 years. And it had the same renderings, but it was just like the messages like, vote for the Chiefs, keep them in Jackson County. Do you think it wins?
Probably.
Probably wins, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can have that side of it. Like, hey, I agree with you. Like, the rankings were underwhelming for the Chiefs, but like, I think the Chiefs in their mind are like, nobody wants to lose the Chiefs. And we saw this. Jonathan Chorman on our staff had this story yesterday about Kansas lawmaker, politicians already starting to talk. The Chiefs are the crown jewel here. You know what I mean? They understand. They're the bell of the ball. Already, the Kansas politicians talking about bringing a team over to the Kansas side. Who are they focusing on? They're focusing on the Chiefs. You know what I mean? So that is one thing, the Chiefs. If they separate and come back to Jackson County and just want the 3/16 without the Royals, I think they get it because they're the Chiefs, and Jackson County doesn't want to lose the Chiefs. You go over to the Royals side, I think a big part of it is what you said, Stephen, which was this thing started off as, look at this awesome vision for a new ballpark to revitalize the community, and it ended as, you better do this or we're going to leave, or we might leave Kansas City. And people are motivated to vote in different ways, but trying to motivate people out of fear to go kind of flipped on them, it seems to me, and people went and said, no, forget you, I'm voting on it. To keep my Crossroads business that I like, to keep the people employed there that might have their business torn down, to have this money spent a different way, to sort of stick it to the man, you will, where when this thing first started, it was like this grand vision of helping out Kansas City. So if you're the Royals, I mean, this is a tricky spot because it feels like they need to go back to Jackson County, but this thing failed such in a landslide fashion that they got a lot of ground to make up. I don't think there's the motivation or the vigor or the enthusiasm for Kansas to take the Royals like it is the Chiefs. So I still think that, you know, downtown probably seems like the best place for the Royals in the long term. It's just they've got to get all their everything in a row and kind of sell a vision of hope again so that that particular thing might happen.
And when it comes to the Chiefs, it's not just the actual stadium. I mean, don't be surprised if someone goes after the Chiefs' headquarters and training facility.
Yep. Well, and that could be separate anyway.
Clay County?
Could be.
What? Okay.
Could be.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star is with us right now. Thank you so much for joining us. Anything else on Rashee Rice or the stadium, or can we do a new topic?
I'm here for you guys.
All right. That's what I mean. Why can't more guests say that? Usually they say, screw you, St. John. I'm talking about what I want. All right. This was a very intriguing trade because it was AFC contender to AFC contender. Stephon Diggs goes from the Bills to the Texans. And, again, following the trend of the Chiefs and L'Jarius Sneed, the Bills settled for a second-round pick in 2025. They also have to send a couple of lower picks along with Stephon Diggs. And so question number one, we still have some free agency and the draft left, but as of right now, after this move from Diggs going from Buffalo to Houston, who's the better team? Who's the bigger threat to the Chiefs, the Bills or the Texans?
You guys maybe looked this up in the parking lot, in the Union Broadcasting there, parking lot.
Okay.
I pulled out my laptop because you guys, Sherman, Gehrig, were you know, really in on the Texans. And, you know, maybe this does.
I still say Buffalo, but it's close.
I was going to say, too, aren't the Chiefs scheduled to host the Texans this year? So maybe that makes it more intriguing if it's the first game of the season. Would that be a good game to start with?
Yes.
Maybe? I looked it up on DraftKings and odds to win the Super Bowl. And the Bills are fifth at plus 1,200. Yeah. The Texans are seventh at plus 1,600.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I mean, I guess I won't. Probably what I really want to say, since we've had this discussion before, is we need to put more respect on my guy Josh Allen's name here.
Yep.
Because he's still really good. And guess what? Against the Chiefs, he was still really good again.
Yeah, and it doesn't bother me too much for them to lose Diggs. It was clearly there was an issue there.
Yeah,
there
was
something. They're willing to eat money and settle for a draft pick next year to get him out of town. They did sign Curtis Samuel, and if I was going to be excited about Curtis Samuel joining the Chiefs, now I can't poo-poo him joining the Bills. And, which I think sucks for the Chiefs, I'm pretty sure, considering the depth of this draft, that they'll be able, what do they pick, 28th? I don't know. Come on, Jake. Look, you're our draft guy. With their first-round pick, probably go wide receiver, and they're probably going to get a good one, and it better not be Ladd McConkey.
I've heard you talk so much about Ladd.
Ladd
is your lad, isn't
that's
he?
Exactly
28th
right.
pick.
Yeah. But as Nate pointed out,
Chiefs are 32nd.
Just
hey, the last time
jump
this,
right over him again.
And I was gonna say, the last time this happened, they just said, "Oh, McDuffie needs to be a Chief."
Hey, and the Cardinals, right. the Arizona Cardinals pick right in front of them. The Cardinals don't care about trading with the Chiefs.
They like it.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't have to compete with the Chiefs. It's there.
You know,
actually, the six teams in front of the Bills are all NFC teams.
Good.
Willing trade partners, maybe.
But how many of them desire a wide receiver?
Minnesota, Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Arizona.
Not many of those.
Yeah, maybe Arizona, but they need everything.
I do think we talk about this so much. This is where the Bills are paying the pauper, though, right? Like this is where we talk so much. Von Miller, that contract. Okay, they're going to go win one. You know what I mean? This is going to be it. This is the move that puts them over the top. And then it doesn't. And I think fans tend to think, okay, but yeah, the salary gap's not a real thing. They'll just get over it. I mean, I remember I did a preview podcast with a Bills writer to preview the Chiefs-Bills playoff game, and I made those points. I said, look, the Chiefs, they're always thinking long-term. They're always thinking big picture. They're thinking, make the playoffs the next 10 years with Patrick Mahomes, give yourself a chance, and you're probably going to win 4 or 5 Super Bowls. And those fans underneath their comment just were livid with me. How can you say the Bills are making win-now moves? How can you say they're going to take a step back this offseason? Don't you know, Brandon Bean, they're not doing that. And then we've seen what the purge that's happened. Now, listen, the Bills, I just told you, I'm a huge Josh Allen stan. Like, I think he's really, really good. And I still think they're going to be competitive. And them having the fifth-best odds to win the Super Bowl is probably about right. But their odds are plus 1,200, and the Chiefs' odds are the best in the NFL at plus 550. So, like, this is, again, where you give Brett Veach and his front office their flowers, because they've managed to win Super Bowls, and then the next year they're projected to win the Super Bowl again, or be the favorite to win the Super Bowl out of all that. So this is where really good GMs are able to continue to keep their teams up top when they both have elite quarterbacks, and that you can see the difference between the two right there. Plus 550 to plus 1,200. The Chiefs have much better odds to win the Super Bowl this year, and that's because of the decisions they've made here over the past 3 or 4 years.
What are you laughing for?
Just that look of satisfaction on your face.
What's the sounder? What did I hit?
The purge.
Oh.
Buffalo's purge, baby. Let's go. I like you. Have you watched
purge? I've never seen any of those movies. I don't think I want to.
I want you to.
It's uncomncomfortable.
I think it would make me feel
uncomfortable right now. Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah.
I think it would make me feel very.
One day a year, go commit any crime you want.
Really,
I do it.
The first purge, really.
Unsettled.
Yeah. Right. We just like to play that. You said the purge, so
I did say it. I teed it up for you.
Did it work out? Did they get all the bad stuff out of them in that one day?
And not really.
This doesn't sound like a happy movie.
It's one day every year.
One day, right. Yeah.
But then does it give you a taste for it? See?
Ooh.
That's the question. That was an interesting trade, though, man. I mean, because, AFC contender to AFC contender, and Diggs, I mean, I don't know. How much do you think he's got left in the tank?
This is kind of the discussion we always have when it comes to free agent receivers, which is like the age curve is not good to them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many receivers now. You draft them, you put them in, and they are really good from the start, and the young players are the ones that are kind of taking over. And so it's why I keep coming on here and saying, like, I mean, listen, Hollywood Brown is still young, so that was a great free agent signing by the Chiefs. It sure looks like on paper, 1 year deal, rebuild his value, kind of like Juju was. Juju was young when they re-signed him to that, or they signed him to that 1 year deal. So if you can get these guys still young, maybe off a little bit of injury stuff, that makes a lot of sense. But outside of that, I mean, it seems a little scary to keep going the rookie route. But, like, to me, the big picture question for the Chiefs is they succeed with such a complicated offense, you know what I mean, and getting chemistry with Mahomes and having guys be able to adjust their routes, all those sorts of things. Is there a way to simplify things so that your rookies are better able to integrate their talents? And I think we saw signs of that last year with Rashee Rice, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably the most productive rookie receiver season that Andy Reid has ever had. And so if the Chiefs take strides to make it easier offensively to get their rookies involved, I mean, why couldn't they take an early-ish draft pick on a receiver every single year just to continue to refill that tank with young guys who don't cost that much and are able to play with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time?
I'm with you. Sign me up. You know? But I just, it's, you I understand it from both sides. Like, I get it. If you're Houston, you see what C.J. Stroud was last year and you think, okay, let's maximize what we can do on his rookie contract and surround him with weapons. But, it is a risk, you know. And the money's steep. And if you're Buffalo, I get it, man. It just there was a locker room issue.
There's something going on.
And you got to move on. And you already signed Curtis Samuel. You lost Gabe Davis, as Jake pointed out. But then you go out and draft another young wide receiver and try to reset things.
I do think you have to give Stephon Diggs credit for his ability to. I mean, he definitely helped Josh Allen early in his career as a young quarterback. I mean, he was a great weapon for Josh Allen in the first couple of years of having him.
And to your point, the cap charge for Houston is reasonable, you know, for having a guy that's up there in age. I mean, if you're looking at like a free agent deal that you would have with that sort of number, it's okay, which is why the draft compensation wasn't through the roof and seemed reasonable from both sides. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, it is the question for Houston is, like, can you keep them happy? Can you make them happy? Can all these things work together? And if so, we're still talking about the quarterbacks here. Right. We're still talking about C.J. Stroud. We're still talking about Josh Allen. We're still talking about Patrick Mahomes.
When it comes to wide receivers, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Houston. And they all, but that also, that also, they might have a receiver to trade. So, I mean, who knows what happens there?
I do think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Josh Allen, because Jake does make a good point. His numbers increased a lot when he got some weapons around him to throw to, and obviously that's not a surprise. We all saw he's a very good quarterback. I'm not suggesting he's going to fall on his face, but what they put next to him or around him this year will be significant. But he's a guy that's like, it isn't one of the big storylines with Josh Allen that they've always put too much on his plate, like in terms of they make him run too much. They depend on him to make the plays too often, to the point where he's getting beat up and all that. And I just wonder, they're going to have to make sure they surround him with some guys, don't you think?
Well, yeah, that's why I think 28 is going to be a receiver.
Yeah.
And they did bring in Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got guys, and they've got a good tight end now. And
I mean, the reality is, and I agree with you, Nate, that always has been the perception. The reality is, I mean, the Chiefs have shown this, like, you get the elite quarterback, and once they start costing money, you got to cut somewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's got to make it work. And the Bills have got to make it work. But like I said, I mean, Diggs wasn't doing much the second half of last season, and Josh Allen looked dynamite in that playoff game against the Chiefs.
He did.
You know what I mean? Like, that was the game. The Chiefs' defense, again, they were great all year. They weren't that great against Buffalo that game. I mean, that was pretty good offense from Buffalo the whole game.
Losing his center, too. I don't know. You know, that is, they're losing a lot of pieces, I think. I mean,
he's still, and we'll see. And we'll see how, it'll be another opportunity to see how good he is. But I still, Mahomes is number one. There's no discussion. And then number two for me is Josh Allen. And then number three, because again, Joe Burrow would have been number two, but he's dealt with injuries, and that's part of it. That's part of the equation. Okay,
durability.
But then, like, after that, man, I'm open for discussion.
Would it stun you if by the end of this coming season we're talking C.J. Stroud as the third best quarterback in the AFC?
Third best? I mean, it would stun me if he's better than Josh Allen and Joe Burrow this year.
Third best, though. So Josh Allen is still, behind Josh Allen and Mahomes?
Burrow, but I would have him fourth best. I mean, it would stun me if he's a better quarterback, better quarterback than Joe Burrow.
I guess I could just see Burrow getting hurt again, and then if he gets hurt,
this is what we're talking about, though. Like, every quarterback you just said is the top of the AFC.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we can talk about all the rest of the team we want to, but, like, we just, here are the top quarterbacks, here are the top AFC teams. I mean, it's sometimes a pretty simple equation. So we can talk about the degree to which Josh Allen will be better or worse than last year, but we're still talking about the best quarterbacks.
And we're not even mentioning Lamar Jackson, who won the MVP.
Yeah. Right. And, again, another quarterback who is on one of the best teams. Yeah, that's what you want. Get that quarterback in, get him signed, get him locked up, and then go win yourself some games.
Geez, that might be the top five. I mean, top five might be all AFC. Who would you bring in from the NFC? Who'd be in the
just
discussion?
Looking at numbers from last year, Dak would be up there, but I wouldn't.
I'm not.
The only one I would put
stare
in this,
at those numbers all you want. No,
the only one I think would have a chance to, like, move himself up would be Jordan Love. Because what we saw from him last year.
We're not talking about Purdy?
Upside?
I mean.
No.
I'm just throwing
Stafford.
I mean, you're making a good point here.
You won a Super Bowl.
I guess
I'll put Stafford in the category.
Yeah.
I'll put him in the category. You know?
But, like, right now, if you ask me, who would I rather have? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Lamar Jackson. I'd rather have all those guys. That's the way I look at it.
Over any NFC quarterback, I think I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have Jordan Love than...
I say Jordan Love is the only one I would say I would potentially elevate.
Than Lamar Jackson, I'd rather have Jordan Love.
But that one's still on a little bit of hope. I mean, that one's off of 8 to 10 games.
Yeah, you're projecting.
Yeah, you're projecting.
He's going to try a strong statement. You'd rather have him than the MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't, it's weird. Like you can't trust him when he talks Green Bay. He's got this weird Green Bay thing.
It's like Garrick. He's got Green Bay shirt and Chiefs pants, and
you know.
It's like I'm on this. Lamar Jackson needs to perform in the playoffs before he can really be put in that category.
He's a stud.
But I mean, shouldn't Josh Allen have to win something in the playoffs?
You can say win something. Didn't he play well against the Chiefs?
He played well. He lost.
Was that his fault? That dart he threw in the corner of the end zone against LeJarius.
He lost.
I have a hard time saying that he lost the 13-second game.
He won the
13-second game several times.
I know.
That's the coach's fault. Yeah. That's a defensive fault. You look at his numbers and how many touchdown drives he led in the fourth quarter and everything.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm being a little bit bratty about it. But also, Lamar Jackson wasn't the one that fumbled going into the end zone.
Yeah, but he had an offense of 10 points. I mean, you know.
I know.
I didn't leave that 13-second game. Then, man, Josh Allen needed to do more.
I didn't leave this year's playoff game thinking that with Josh Allen. Like, wow, what a game from him.
Why can't Josh Allen make field goals? Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's end the show with a very good tweet from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who just re-signed with the Chiefs. In the last half hour, Clyde Edwards-Helaire tweets, "That laughing gas at the dentist is dangerous. Bruh. Just walk out of here, no shoes. Tripping." Laughing emoji, laughing emoji. How about that? The laughing gas got Clyde tripping, walking out of the... Walking out of the dentist with no shoes.
We've all been there.
Damn it, Clyde. Put your shoes on, please.
Put your shoes on.
Jesse Newell, what will become of you now? What's next for you?
That's like a deep question with 35 seconds left in the show. Jeez.
He's going to go out looking more gambling lines up in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Jesse hanging out in the Union Broadcasting parking lot.
I'll be right out there.
Checking out DraftKings. And here comes Jake.
Oh, boy.
You better get the hell out of here. Oh, Jesse Newell.
Thanks for taking us to school today, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how much schooling there was.
There's a lot.
Yeah. Like the last day before spring break. Not a lot of paying attention.
There's a lot. We will be back tomorrow, we think. We'd like to, if possible. Thank you to Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star for spending the last hour with us right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Goodbye.